You're now listening to Upon Further Review on the official Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, Eddie Pascal and producer Trev back, as we always are, at 1220 Harbor Bay Parkway in the Beat Laboratory. I hope you all had a great, exciting, festive, patriotic, relaxing 4th of July. I know we sure did, but we are back in the lab. We have just over 2 weeks until Training Camp 2019 kicks off. That is wild. Just over 2 weeks, so the boys are back in town until we take over Napa, until we paint Napa silver and black for 3.5 weeks, for the better part of a month, until we say goodbye to our loved ones, our significant others, say, I'm sorry. Let's catch up in June. Can't wait. Nothing better than football season. But before we get into football season, we got to get to training camp, as I said. And today's episode, as I alluded to last week, is the second of our three-part series just previewing the positions headed into 2019 on the Oakland Raiders roster. So to do that, to help us in our quest, we bring in the great Kyle Martin Media, our senior esports correspondent, our junior draft analyst, our resident Southern California fan. KMM, welcome aboard. I hope the 4th was kind to you.
It was. And it was an eventful day. It was a day of patriotism and showing how much I love this great country of ours.
And we certainly do. God bless America. These colors don't run. Moving on. So today, last week we took care of the offense. We talked Derek Carr, AB, Tyrell Williams, all the new additions, CW3, our fan favorite. This week, we give some love to a group that I love immensely, Kyle. You know this. The special teamers. Special team coordinator Rich Bisaccia, one of the best in the game. Today we have a six-pack of questions regarding really just all of Rich's group, things to expect, what we want to know, things we're curious about. And I'm excited, Kyle, because what do I tell you all good teams have? If you want to win the Super Bowl, if you want to make noise from week 1 to week 17 and in the postseason, KMM, tell me, what do you need?
Core special teams group that's going to get the job done.
Yes. Yes, you do. If you look back, Travis is nodding. When we think back to 2016, a great year in Raiders history, a tremendous year. What did we have, Travi?
Great special teams.
Great special teams play. The special teamers never get enough love. They never get enough credit. But that is where we come in. I will not allow that on this podcast, on this very high-level podcast. I will not allow such a thing. So, KMM, let's get into it. The six-pack of questions. You went first last week. I'll go first this week,
if that's okay. Tee it off.
Teeing it off from the first tee. A rolling rock to get things rocking and rolling in our six-pack. I start with this. A simple question. Do you, the 2019 Oakland Raiders, do we have a punting battle headed into camp?
Yes.
Boy, that was quick.
God bless Johnny Townsend.
Obviously. Friend of the program.
Yeah, great guy. I think he'll be the first one to admit, though, that last season his rookie campaign wasn't ideal.
A lot of ups and downs.
Stuff he's probably corrected or tried to correct this offseason. But given those struggles of last year, I don't think anybody's entering 2019 locked into the fact that he has to be the guy. You know, I think open-minded. I think we're going to let the boys compete. They're going to have a good time out there, some friendly competition. But I don't expect Rich to just be like, we can do this, we can go to practice, but I'm not going to consider other options.
I agree with you. Oh, man, I don't want to say 100%, so I'm going to say like 92%. I don't know if we have a quote-unquote battle at punter between rookie A.J. Cole, the kid from NC State that we signed this offseason, and Johnny T, but I think we have whatever the word is just before a position battle. Because, I mean, you said it the best, Kyle. Johnny's rookie season, up and down, to put it nicely. Some highs, certainly. Some not-so-great moments.
Some valleys,
some peaks and valleys. The thing that I think we should keep in mind, though, when we're talking about Johnny T, were the numbers there for him last year? No, they were not. Just simple as that. And like you said, I think he'd be the first one to admit that he needs to be better Coach Bisaccia, Coach Gruden, they have all said Johnny's got to be better. But I think it's also interesting, and I think it bears some repeating, that Coach Bisaccia and Coach Gruden have also reaffirmed Johnny. They have not deviated from the plan with Johnny T, right?
No, they haven't.
And there was a couple-week stretch last year where you're thinking to yourself, oh, boy, this is not trending in a trajectory that we would like it to. I wonder if Coach Gruden and Rich would be inclined to make a move. And they didn't. They stayed the course. Now, Johnny was a rookie punter. And not only is he a rookie punter, he was dealing with a special teams battery of just rookies. So he was getting his snaps from Trent Seager, rookie, more on him in just a little bit. And I'm not here to make excuses for Johnny or anything like that. He's got to be better. But 2019 was a year of exploration, a year of experimentation, a year of good and bad for Johnny T. So do I think that A.J. Cole will get a chance to kick for this job? Yeah, I sure do. That said, I also think Johnny's probably the favorite to win that job at camp this year.
Yeah, I would say he's the favorite. I'd give him that nod. I would agree with that. I think you pointed out statistically, the numbers weren't that kind to Johnny T, but I think what was the worst, I don't want to say worst, but like, you know, what gets, I don't even know how I want to say this. I don't know how to articulate it. The biggest issue, in my opinion,
sure,
is just that in the times where you needed a crucial play to be made,
yeah,
in the game,
it seemed like that moment just didn't come to fruition.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
And that's kind of hard to equate statistically. I'll give you that.
Yeah, it's not going
to
show up in the stat sheet. And those mistakes, those miscues, whether they're on Johnny, whether they're on anybody on the special teams unit, just can't happen. There are too many last year. And those need to be neutralized or minimized in some capacity.
Yeah, I would agree with you 100%. And I think that, I mean, you really hit the nail on the head in really all things Johnny T. The only thing I think I want to add to this conversation before we go on to question two is, for whatever reason, and I'm sure that a real football guy, which as you know is certainly not me, but I would love to have a real football guy. And we've heard from real football guys. We talk to a lot of real football guys. The three of us, we're not football guys.
We're just dudes.
But we spend a lot of time with football guys. And we've heard from a lot of those people that for whatever reason, it takes a little bit longer for specialists to transit, specialists being kickers, punters, long snappers, to kind of transition from the college game to the NFL. Now, I'm sure there's myriad reasons for that. But let's not forget that it was just 1 year. And similar to a Colton Miller type situation where you were thrust into duty, Johnny T also thrust into duty week one. And I think that 16 games under his belt, granted 16 of not the best games of his career, certainly, but I think 16 games in that situation, dealing with that pressure, being a rookie, trying to figure out life while also being a punter for an NFL team, I think that'll bear out positively for him in the long run. And producer Trav, as our resident Raiders historian on this podcast, if I also remember correctly, the great Sebastian Janikowski, a dear personal friend of this podcast, Baz also didn't have a great rookie year, did he? He kind of had like a middling rookie year and then really took off in year two and beyond.
Yes, I think that sounds correct.
Yeah.
Shane Leckler too, right?
Yeah, same with the Leck Daddy.
Yeah, I mean, they came in together and they grew together.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's all about the process, right? It's all about growing. It's all about being better, you know, year two compared to year one. It's being better week 17 than you were week one. And look, I think that a lot of the heat that Johnny T took was because we were a 4-12 football team last year too. You know, if we were on the cusp of going to the playoffs, if the good times were, you know, if we were singing Sweet Caroline every week, look, I don't know. I think you can kind of gloss over a lot of that, you know, Johnny's, you know, deficiencies, for lack of a better term, a year ago. On a better team, on a good team, I don't know if you have so much heat on him, but when you're 4-12 and things are not going well, the last thing you want to see is your punter having a 21-yard punt.
Yeah, I think, I mean, being a punter too, one of the biggest issues is that it's like a corner, right? When you watch a corner make a mistake, it's pretty much all on him.
Yeah.
They're on an island all by themselves, right? So even though Johnny T might have the best protection in the world, or the protection collapses, if he kicks a punt 25 yards, everybody's going to see that punt that just went 25 yards,
yeah,
right? So in terms of special teams as a whole, of course, all the negativity is going to be focused on him because he's almost like a corner where he's on an island, where it's just his performance is clear as day. To someone who doesn't really understand football or look at the people in the trenches, it's going to be, you know, obvious, clear as day.
Yeah, and obviously, like I said, we're not in the business of making excuses for anyone. We're just kind of saying what we saw a year ago. Does Johnny have to be better to keep this job? I'm sure he does. Well, has A.J. Cole been brought in to kind of push him, to give him a little competitive juice? Absolutely. Now, do I think Johnny, you know, 4 months from now or whatever it is, when we line up for week one against the Broncos, do I think he's the punter on this football team? I certainly do. But I'm excited to see this competition play out, and it's going to be a good one throughout training camp. So we move on from question one to question two. KMM, what you got, baby?
Another position battle. Trent Sieg, Andrew DiPaola.
Ooh, baby! Do we have a long snapper battle on our hands?
We do. Trent Sieg filled in nicely for Mr. DiPaola after he injured him.
Nicely might be an understatement.
Exceptionally.
The man was perfect.
Yeah, he was superb.
Exquisite.
Right? He had a hell of a rookie year, but I feel like I should be allowed to say this, Trav. I mean, Andrew DiPaola is the highest paid long snapper in the league.
He is.
I'm not going to get into the details, semantics.
No,
I don't know any of the incentives.
Frankly, none of our business.
No, it is not. But he is the highest paid long snapper in the league.
For a good reason.
Yes.
Earned it.
And they're going to have to make sure that he's worth every single penny of that, right? They can't, regardless of how Trent Sieg performed, DePaulo's going to have to show, like, well, I mean, we brought him in here for a reason, and we're paying him for a reason. So put plus one together. You get two. I mean, it seems pretty simple, right? Like, it's...
Kyle, I get excited a lot. There are a lot of things in my life that excite me. Special teams is one of them. I just want to say, for the record, that in all the times, all the hours that we've spent in the Beat Lab here at 1220, the fact that we get to discuss a long snapper battle in training camp is probably one of my top three moments right now. I am excited. I am ecstatic. I am over the moon. May I have the floor?
Please. I figured this episode of Upon Further Review would just be entirely the Eddie hour.
I love teams.
Yeah.
I love them. Okay. Trent Sieg v. Andrew DiPaola. As you mentioned, likely, now I can't quote this. If I was a bigger football guy, perhaps I would know off the top of my head. I can't imagine there is another NFL team that has a long snapper battle in camp. We do, baby. And I cannot wait. As you mentioned, Andrew DiPaola, an absolute stud, brought in last offseason to replace Raiders legend and close personal friend of this podcast, John Kondo. To replace him, injures himself, does not get a chance to really show what he's got. Enter the young rookie rocket scientist, Trent Sieg. He enters and is perfect. Not a poor snap the entire season. Does what he needs to do, becomes a core part of that rookie special teams batter that we talked about with Johnny T and Daniel Carlson. And I am so intrigued as to how this is going to play out over the next couple months, because you're not keeping two long snappers on a team. I'm sorry. I don't care who you are. I know we've done some wacky things with the rosters. I think at one point we had 14 or 15 wide receivers on the team. We are not keeping two long snappers. It is simple as that. So I really don't know how Rich and Coach Gruden, how they really kind of figure out this battle. Like, is it really something as baller as, like, hey, you each get 10 snaps. Whoever's got the best 10 wins. Like, I really don't know. In my heart of hearts, I'm heartbroken because as a special teams advocate, I don't know how you really go about distinguishing this kind of stuff.
Trent Sieg's not eligible for the practice squad either, right? Because he's...
I would have to confer with our digital media czar, our public relations czar, Will Kiss, but I don't believe that he is. And to be fair, if we were to cut Trent,
I can't imagine he would clear waivers at all. Yeah. Boy. It's tough to, like, for you and I to discuss statistically who's going to be better for the position, right? Because, I mean, long snapper stats don't exist.
Is it a good snap or is it a bad snap?
Yeah, it's pretty cut and dry, right?
I mean, because we've talked to John Kondo before, producer Trav, one of our, like I said, a dear personal friend of this program. We've talked to Kondo before where he's told us that the difference between him going to a Pro Bowl and him not going to a Pro Bowl is literally one snap. So I think the... the margin for error and the margin in determining how good are these guys or where do we need them to be better is so slim.
Yeah.
And I imagine, and look, as I've said many times in the past 20 minutes, I'm not a football guy, but I would have to imagine that the continuity that Johnny T built up with Trent, that's got to count for something because Johnny T was getting those snaps all year. Now, I'm sure he's gotten a lot from Andrew DePaula since, you know, he came back from injury throughout the offseason program, all of that. But I don't know. I'm genuinely, I say this with all the sincerity and all the conviction that I can. I don't know how this is going to play out, and I cannot wait.
I think that's probably the most passionate I've heard you talk about any position battle.
I love teams, baby. You know that.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Lead us into three, Eddie.
Question three. Will another personal friend of this podcast, Dwayne Gucci Harris, will he find the end zone via punt and or kick return in 19?
What a savvy move from him, first of all,
true
last
legend.
Year.
Dwayne Gucci Harris, if you wanted to be enshrined in Raiders lore, if you wanted to become a Raiders legend, you did it, brother.
Yeah, he really did. I remember all of us sitting in the press box. As soon as he let that ball roll, we're like, oh my gosh, here we go. And then he runs back, picks it up, and on what is he doing? What is he doing?
Dude, I think the best way to describe it, pure madness, really.
Yeah.
But it was the classic, no, yes. It was like that moment. Like, what is this madman doing?
A peak, all the way sudden drop in emotion, all the way back up.
I watched the video earlier this week just because I love team so much. And I just had to see it. What a lunatic.
Yeah.
What an absolute lunatic. And the best part is at the end when they're on the, you know, they're showing the replay. And Grudog is just so smug. He's got the fit. Yeah. He was fired up. We were all fired up. What a great moment.
But to watch a punt roll.
To the one inch line.
Yeah, the 1 inch line. And then you see the Broncos defender dive on it. And then for whatever reason, let it go. And then you see Gucci pick it up. I can't, with defenders everywhere. It's not like they were like 50 feet away.
There were like, I think there were four people in his immediate vicinity. And look, let's be clear here. With nothing but love, admiration, and respect for Dwayne Gucci Harris, he is not Usain Bolt.
No.
You know, the straight line speed is not one of a sprinter.
No, but think about this too. You know how when next gen stats or something.
Yeah, a bunch of nerds.
Put on like a running back. The full length
that,
of the
what's
route.
What's that term, Trev? Is that spot shadow?
Yeah, where they like follow the spot shadow.
Spot shadow.
It has the line that follows their route and everything. Yeah. It might have been a 99-yard return, right? 98, 99.
Yeah.
But he ran from one side of the end zone to the complete other side, rounded the corner, and then went straight up, you know? It's not like he just caught it and then went straight forward. That's easily a 109, 108-yard return.
He's a madman.
Yeah.
Simple as that. But to answer the question, Kyle, does Gucci find the end zone again in 19?
Boy, I really got caught up in the moment there. Sure. Why not? Yeah. We waited 7 years for another special teams touchdown. Seven, right? I think it's seven.
Yeah, we still don't have a kick return. We're still waiting on that one. That one has been some time. I think you were a youngster the last time we were blessed with a kick return touchdown, but...
But I think Gucci finds pay dirt again.
I'm with you, Dwayne Gucci Harris. You're a good man. Your dogs have beautiful sweaters that are worth more than probably what I make annually. And I'm in it, brother. I am all for Dwayne Gucci Harris. If we can get Gucci a package in the offense, let's do that. I cannot get enough Gucci. Can't do it. Can't do it.
Jet sweeps last year.
Yeah, he did. He did. But
you'd like to see more of them.
I'd like to see some. I want to get wild, man. I want to see some crazy stuff from Gucci.
You want to see his trade for Antonio Brown and then start Dwayne Harris over him?
Dude, I want Gucci to be like run the wildcat. I want Gucci under center. I want him to take a 5-step drop and just launch one deep to Tyrell Williams.
Eddie, I'll say this. I'm glad you're not our offensive coordinator.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Nothing but blessings to Ole, another great personal friend of this program. Question four, Kyle. What you got?
Who are your gunners?
Oh, boy.
I've got one.
Dwayne Gucci Harris?
No.
Who do you got?
Isaiah Johnson.
Ooh, you're a big Isaiah Johnson guy.
Love the man. Made a great impression on me.
Ooh, man. Okay, so that's a really good question, actually. I'm going to have to say, I'm going to put Gucci as one, just because of his special teams knowledge that is otherworldly.
Yeah.
From a different galaxy. I'm going to have Gucci as one, and then, Isaiah Johnson's a good guess. Maybe Trayvon Mullen?
Okay. All right, that's not a bad one either.
I mean, that's another one, too, where, you know, we've talked so much about these positions, and there's certain things that we really can't see and get a good grasp of until we're in camp, until action is a little more live. And I think Gunner is one of those deals.
You're a big, you're all-around big special teams guy. There's one position in special teams that I'm all about is the Gunner.
Yeah, they're crucial.
Yeah.
Game changers. Like, if you can get on your horse and you can get down and force they're game-changing plays.
Yeah, and I mean...
And that's what people forget about teams.
If they
game-changing plays.
If they don't call fair catch either, I love a good crack.
Oh, you gotta.
Love a good crack.
You gotta. Isaiah Johnson's your guy, though?
I think so. I think that's kind of... when he came into the studio...
That's right. He did mention his love of teams.
Yeah, and it's making it a priority. He wants to establish a role... A lot of the rookies do, though, which is good. You know, that's a good mentality to have.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this, too, I think, on a previous episode of the pod, about how refreshing it was for you and I that all these, not all of them, but most of these rookies come in, and they are big special teams advocates. Wasn't it John Abram that went into Rich's office and said, Coach, what do you need from me? How can I help? How can I contribute? This is one of your three first-round draft picks. This is a guy who's an absolute stud on the back end of your defense who wants to come in and contribute on special teams. Sign me up.
Jonathan, I appreciate your enthusiasm, but...
Yeah, maybe not too much. Just a little bit. Yeah. Just a little taste.
Dial it back. We're gonna get you in the mix. Don't worry.
Yeah, maybe just on like really, really big plays.
Yeah.
You know, maybe just there. Okay, so that means I'm on question five, correct, Kyle?
Yes, sir.
Here we go. Will Daniel Carlson, another friend of the program, you know what I'm noticing, Trav, is that most of our friends of the program are special teamers. That's beautiful. There's something poetic there. I ask, will Daniel Carlson, higher or lower, 94.1
higher
field goal completion?
Higher.
Higher?
Higher.
Now, just a little back info on that. That's what Mr. Carlson connected on last year as a Raider. He was 16 of 17, good for 94.1 completion percentage. You're taking higher than that.
I'm going higher. I think 97.
97?
97.
That means he would hypothetically go like, what, 26 of 27, something like that?
See, that's tough because you're right. I think I expect our offense to be better this year, right? Immensely better.
And I know you're going with this. He did not miss from over 50.
Yeah.
So if you're implying that where he's going to have shorter kicks to make, yes. But he was also perfect from 50 plus.
He'll also, I think he'll have less field goal attempts.
Oh, okay.
But more extra points.
Okay, so I should say the completion percentage was just his field goal percentage.
Okay.
He didn't miss an extra point, though, for what it's worth.
Oh, 94, that is really high.
It's a good percentage, bro.
I'll just say this now. This is going to be a hot take. Freezing Cold Tanks can call... If they listen to this podcast, they can call me out. But I think young Money Carlson goes perfect from the field next year.
That is scalding.
So I'm looking at Seabass's stats right now. And in his tenure as a Raider, the highest he went was 91.2%. That was in 2012. And we think of Seabass as, you know, automatic.
He's a Hall of Famer. If the Hall of Fame would do what's right in a couple of years, we should see him in Canton. I digress. Wait, what were his numbers that year, though, Travi?
So he was 91.2% percentage, 31 for 34. His long was
57.
And 100% on extra points.
So he only missed three kicks the entire year. Boy, you're going to go high. Oh boy. Kyle, if somehow Daniel Carlson goes perfect next year, We gotta recycle this clip. We're gonna date it, timestamp it, recycle it.
My heart tells me he won't, because when was the last time a kicker went perfect from wherever for a full season?
That's a great question.
But I'm gonna be positive today. On this podcast.
I love it. I'm gonna go under 94.1%, just barely. And the only reason I say the under, I'm just looking at the odds, man. I mean, Cash Money Carlson was literally cash money last year. Missed that. I believe it was his first kick? Yeah, it was his first kick against the Niners that he missed. And then he was perfect from there on out. The odds are he's going to miss a kick this year. We're playing some cold weather games later in the season. I think the odds are just getting, he's going to come back to earth a little bit. Now, that said, do I think that the Silver and Black have found their kicker for the foreseeable future? Yeah, you bet your bottom dollar I do. I love Daniel Carlson. Love him.
Yeah,
love
what he brings. I think he's the guy.
Yeah, love what he brings to the roster. Love what he brings. But, dude, 94.1% is obscene. It's obscene. And I hope he does it, man. I would love to be wrong. I would love to look you in the eye and say, Kyle, you know what? You were right. Daniel Carlson was 31 of 31 last year. But, I mean, low 90s, I think, realistic?
Yeah. Yeah. Realistically, yeah.
I don't know.
In the 90s, though. I'll say
in the
90s.
Yeah, in the 90s, for sure. I mean, Daniel Carlson's a stud. He's an absolute stud. I think we stole him away from the Minnesota Vikings. Will be interesting to see him kick back there, though, this year, won't it?
Yeah.
Against the team that betrayed him.
Well, I think he betrayed them, but yeah, ultimately,
a mutual betrayal of sorts. But the team that let him go, the team that drafted him, he'll play it down, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll be, oh, it's another game. It's the next game on the schedule, but I'm curious.
Always means a little more.
Yeah, it'd be good to exercise some demons in that stadium as well.
All right, my last question for you is a bit of a fun one.
Ooh, fun boy.
What is the wildest or craziest thing Rich Bisaccia will do during Hard Knocks?
Oh, Richard.
During Hard Knocks, what's the craziest thing we'll see from Coach?
Man, that is a good question. Oh, what is the wildest thing that Rich Bisaccia...
Because Coach says some pretty entertaining things during practice that are comparable with Coach Gruden, but
yeah, Rich is, oh man, that is a really good question. My personal favorite thing that Rich has done is I think it might have been during rookie mini camp last year, producer Trav. I think it might have been rookie mini camp where they did that gauntlet.
Yeah, last day of rookie minicamp.
Yes, last day of rookie minicamp. They're doing this gauntlet where it's essentially it's like an obstacle course, right? Where you run through the cones, you catch a pass, you turn the corner, and then you sprint down, right? You sprint down and you're going. It's offense versus defense, so there's two guys going at the same time. And Rich was in charge of the stopwatch. So Coach Bisaccia has the stopwatch and he's timing the guys. The joy that this man had. As he would literally like start like 15, 20 yards from like where the finish line was, and he'd be running in with them, yelling, and then he'd push the stopwatch, go 7-4, and he'd yell whatever. But dude, he is a showman.
Yeah.
He's 100% a showman.
He doesn't want to be. He doesn't want to be. But he's just passionate about the game. He's passionate about the game. I think he'll be one of the more underrated personalities on Hard Knocks.
And he's got a beautiful goatee.
Stunning.
Just gorgeous.
And a beautiful chain.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, but the goatee really is, it's glorious.
Yeah.
Coach Bisaccia, and I actually see Coach Bisaccia, I've seen him a couple times this offseason, walking through Alameda, so I've been walking around or running, doing whatever, and I'll see him, and he's still got the hood on, got his headphones in, just cruising, just intense.
He's just like a bulldog.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just means business. I don't
want
to mess with him.
No. What do you think Rich is going to do?
I think anything is possible. As KG once said, anything is possible. Yeah, I don't know, man. I think he's a wild man. I think he's going to do some crazy outlandish stuff that's going to push the players to the brink of extinction. But I don't know. I think he's going to be one of the best personalities on Hard Knocks, but I know how much you love Rich Bisaccia, so I thought I'd ask you.
I do love him immensely. Another thing to keep in mind, too, with Rich, though, not a stranger to having the camera around either, because he was on those Cowboys teams where they had all or nothing.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a handful of players, coaches who aren't super, I don't want to say super comfortable, but just haven't had the experience of having a camera follow them around for, you know, 24 hours a day in, you know, whatever setting, in this case in Napa. Rich is not going to fall in that category.
No, I don't think Rich isn't like the kind of guy that's, you know, clamoring for the camera. He doesn't want to be in front of it.
No, he's just going to do him.
Yeah, it's not. He just doesn't care.
Yeah.
He just doesn't care at all. He's there to do his business, which is why it's going to be genuine, legitimate, great television.
I'm excited. I am excited. Very, very excited. Producer Trav, what do you think? Do you think Rich has any craziness up his sleeve?
I don't know. I'm sure he'll probably make an appearance during a team meeting or something.
Mm.
But I can't think of anything specifically.
Another great Coach Bisaccia moment, when we were in Mobile earlier this year, you guys remember during the game, and he was running around flying, slapping the stickers on people's helmets? He's mobile, too. He's got some hops.
He's an agile man.
Very agile. I just remember him. I want to say it was one of the fullbacks, maybe. And I have this vision of the fullback had a great block or something on like a kickoff or kick return, something like that. Comes off the field, and Coach Bisaccia is just running. And then almost like he was like in the slam dunk contest, just takes off, just elevates, pumps with the arm, bang, and lays the sticker on the helmet.
The tomahawk.
The tomahawk.
That's fantastic.
Big,
what a guy.
Big Bisaccia guy. Big Bisaccia guy, big special teams guy. This is a good pod. I felt good about this one. I felt good. I felt strong. Producer Trav's nodding his head, which means he hasn't grown too tired of our antics just yet, which is good. But we move on to next week, right? God, man, we do next week. It'll be the last position preview. We'll take a look at Pauly Gunther's defense, a six-pack of questions about them. And when we record that one, we're going to be just about a week out from heading to training camp.
The off season always goes so fast.
It does. It goes too fast, some might say. But the good news is there's a light at the end of the tunnel. That light is training camp. Because I'm done with this, man. It's fun to talk. It's fun to prognosticate. Let's play ball. Let's go to Napa. Let's strap the pads on. Let's hit practice. Let's do it. We're looking ahead just a little bit. We're gonna have some pretty fun training camp tent. I think we're gonna do a better job this year of kind of lifting the veil on what it's like for us at training camp. It's a lot of fun. It kind of reminds me literally of like summer camp as a little kid, right? You have a roommate, you have a meal room, you know, you're just with each other 24/7 for 3.5 weeks. There's always one fight, you know?
Love the fights.
You need them.
Love the
fuels
fights.
Fuels you. Keeps you honest.
And you mean between us, right?
Yes, yes. More than one fight on the football field. But it's good, man. It's a lot of fun. It's an experience unlike any other. I don't really know what the equivalent to going away to training camp with your buddies would be like. I just don't. I think this is a very unique thing that we do. And I cannot wait. We are coming on it quick, Travi. We are on a freight train straight to Napa.
What training camp is this for you guys?
7? So that means 6 for you, Trav?
Yeah.
Was this for you, Kyle?
4.
This is training camp 4? Mamma mia, pizzeria. We have been at this too long.
I've been a Raider longer than I was a Duck.
Boy, that is something.
Yeah.
Father Time stops for no man. So, for Eddie Pascal, producer Trav, the great KMM, engineer Jim, back next week. I keep wanting to say, oh, we'll see you in a little bit, but we do the same thing every week. Back next week, same time, same place. We take a look at, like I said, Paul Gunther's defense, a sixer of questions. Tweet at us if you have beer suggestions. I'm trying to get to the point on this podcast where our boss lets us have a couple cold ones as we discuss the six-pack. I think we're a little bit away from that. But if I could start a grassroots movement, I would immensely appreciate that. So, that said, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode, and we will catch you guys next week on Upon Further Review.
Thank you for listening to Upon Further Review on the official Raiders Podcast Network.